Morning. Today's daf in Erechin is Yud Zayin. We are on Tet Zayin Amud Beis. We are halfway down in the Amud. We are starting today with the mitzvah of Tochacha. It's a mitzvah in the Torah to rebuke another Jew when you see him doing something that is incorrect. And we're going to be discussing this morning the parameters of Tochacha. That more or less will take us to the end of the parak. The end of the parak start is tucked away in today's daf. On Yud Zayin, and then Yirtzeh Hashem, later this morning we're going to be starting the fourth parak of the Masechta. Okay, what is the mitzvah of Tochacha doing here? So it's a good question. I don't have great answers. I will make a couple suggestions. One, sometimes Tochacha involves a little bit of Lashon Hara, and in fact we're going to see a little bit of that in the upcoming Gemaras. Two, and it's just an observation, and I didn't see anyone say this, but it happens to be that in Erechin in the Torah is followed immediately after the Tochacha. If you look in Chumash, you look in Parshas Bechukosai, so there is a lengthy Tochacha, not as lengthy as the one in Parshas Kisavo, which is much longer, but there's a lengthy Tochacha, and then immediately afterwards you have the Parsha Erechin. So the connection, unsure, but you see it juxtaposed in the Torah, and it's here in our Gemara. Okay, we just spent the last couple of days talking about the halachas of Lashon Hara. Most of the dapim of Tezvav and Tezayin revolve around Lashon Hara, but after having concluded both the drushas and the halachas of Lashon Hara, so now the Gemara is going to pick it up on the mitzvah of Tochacha. We are on Tezayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara of Tochacha begins after the lines start getting wide. Even above that. Okay. It's about 10 lines down from the top of the Amud. Sorry. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes with a brisa. It's the last three words in the line. Tana Rabbanan lo sisna sachicha belvavecha. Okay. Gemara over here is quoting from the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. It's in the beginning of the Parsha. Parsha over there tells us that one is not permitted to hate his brother. It says belvavecha in your heart. And then the pasuk goes on to say, "Hochech tochiach es amitecha." One has to rebuke him. Velosisa lav chait. And then the Torah cautions us, "Oh, but don't have a chait in doing so." So all this is going to be darshened by our Gemara. Gemara says, "Velosis nasachecha b'avavecha." So don't hate your brother in his heart. Yachol af, yachol lo yakenu, lo yisitenu, v'lo yikakenu. So the Gemara says, "Okay, so I might have thought, okay, so don't hate him. So that means don't hit him, and it means don't slap him, and it means." Now, we have the words, in our Gemara, we have the word yikalkalenu. On the side, it's edited to yikalelenu, and don't curse him. So, tamal amar bilvavecha. Sinisha baleva kasa medabir. The Torah is not addressing manners in which one is able, and not able to, but supposed to correct your fellow. In other words, if you see a friend doing something wrong, so you have to correct him. And if the correction is a little bit strong, okay, fine, you correct him. The Torah's demand over here is losisna esachicha bevavecha. The Torah tells us not to hate our friend in our heart, meaning sinisha belev. So minan l'ro bechaver davar meguna shechayv lochicha. In fact, if you see your friend doing something wrong, so there's a mitzvah of tochacha. Shenemar ochech tochich. Hochicha v'lo kibo minan sheachzor yochichenu. So the Gemara says, and now how do I know that if I give him tochacha and he's not listening, that I have to give him tochacha again? So tamar lomar tochiach mikom makom. So the double lashon. So what we're learning now from the pasuk is two things. One is that lo sis nasachicha etz bilvavecha, meaning don't hate your friend that's only in your heart. But if you see your friend doing something wrong, so you give him tochacha. So yachol afilo mishana panam. Now, how about we get to the following point? Meaning I've given tochacha, he hasn't listened. I give it to him again, he hasn't listened. How about public embarrassment? Is that okay? So tam alam lo sisa alav chait. That's the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk comes to teach us that no. Now you are required to give him tochacha, but there comes a point in time where if it comes to the point where mishana panav, he's going to be embarrassed by the tochacha you're going to give him. So at that point in time, you come to an end. You stop. The mitzvah of tochacha now has officially come to a conclusion. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon makes the following declaration: Tamani im yesh bedor hazeh shemekabat tochachav. So So Rabbi Tarfon says, in this generation, Rabbi Tarfon's talking about the generation of Tanayim. In this generation, I'm not sure if anyone really is able to receive Tochacha. I simply say, look, you have a little splinter between your eyes. The Gemara is saying this Bederach Mashal. You have a little splinter between your eyes. He's going to look right back at me. He's going to say, oh yeah, you have a beam between your eyes. You're correcting me. You see the things that you're doing wrong and you're correcting me. So Rabbi Tarfon talks about in his generation, people couldn't accept Tochacha. Amr Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah tameni imish b'dor hazeh sheyodeh lochiach. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is quoted as saying, I'm not sure if people know how to give Tochacha. V'amr Rav Yochanan ben Nuri meid ani alai shamayim v'ar shahar bepamim laka akiva al yadi. Now Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says that on account of me, many times, so Akiva was given Musar Tochacha. Now Rabbi Akiva, of course, went through stages in his life where he wasn't in learning. Then the first 40 years of his life, then the next 40 years of his life, he started learning. I mean, 40 years. And then for the last 40 years of his life, he was a Malamed. He was a, not just a Malamed, he was the Rav Shah Yisrael. So so in the beginning of his Limud, so he needed correction. He needed numerous corrections. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says that, I'm telling you, right, Meid ani alai shamayim v'aretz, meaning he's giving edus that is absolutely correct, absolutely true, that Akiva got Malkus on his account. And this accounts for the following. Meaning, oh, let me just go back. So what Rav Yochanan Nuri says is that what happens is I see Rabbi Akiva needed correction. I would go over to Rabbi Gamliel. And I would say to him, you know, Rabbi Akiva needs improvements in these areas. Would you please do so? Rabbi Gamliel would do so. And Rabbi Akiva, he would love it. He'd love it. He loved being corrected. And this follows the Pasuk in Mishlei. The Pasuk in Mishlei says that if you have somebody who's a late, so he's a scoffer, he's a bit of a clown. So for him, if you give him Musa, if you give him Tochacha, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to be affected. In fact, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Al Tochech late, Pen Yisna'acha. Right? Don't give him Tochacha because he's just going to hate you. He doesn't understand that your purpose is trying to correct him and improve him, but he's not interested in that. However, if you give it to a Chacham, Ye'ehavcha, he's going to come and love you. So Rav Yochanan Nuri says that. That's the way I'm describing Rabbi Akiva. So I gave Rabbi Akiva Tochacha. I did so with the aid of Rabbi Gamliel, but I looked to correct him and improve him. And he's a Chacham, and he loved it, and he loved me for it. So the Gemara now weighs the following options. Tochacha Lishma. Tochacha Lishma, on one hand, you want to give Tochacha, and you're doing so for the right reasons. You're not trying to make yourself any better than the other person. You just literally think that I'm giving Tochacha because really he wants to improve. I want to help him improve. That's Tochacha Lishma. On the other hand, what's the other consideration? Anava Shalal Lishma. Now, Anava, of course, is humility. In this context, Anava Shalal Lishma means the following. I don't want to give him Tochacha because I'm humble. But you're not really humble. It's Anava Shalal Lishma. You want to at least pretend that you're humble. But the truth of the matter is, you don't want to give him Tochacha for other considerations. Maybe you don't want to bother. It's confrontational. I don't like the confrontation. But it's not real. It's not true Anava. So it's Anava Shalal Lishma. So what's better? On one hand, you have the opportunity of Tochacha. On the other hand, it's Anava, but it's not real Anava. So which one's better? So Haiminaya Adifa. So Amalei V'lamod is Anava Lishma Adifa. So the Gemara says, well, look, in the way you presented the question, you're admitting that if it was real Anava, the mamish, the person had real, real anivas. He was humble, humble person, and did not want to interfere with somebody else because of his own anivas. So if it was real anivas, so the Gemara says, so you're agreeing that that's better. Damar mar, anava gadol mikulam. Of all the midos, anava is the greatest of all the midos. So shalol shma nami adifa. And he says, so you agree to me that anava is better. And as far as shalol shma, I got to tell you, shalol shma is pretty good as well. How do I know that? So we know the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, the Gemara in a number of places say, that when a person should be learning Torah, even though originally when he's learning the Torah, it's for ulterior motives, and there's something other than Torah Lishma in which he's learning. He's learning for kavod, he's learning for ulterior motives. On the other hand, mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. Okay, that's his original intentions. But eventually, what's going to end up happening is going to end up learning Torah lishma. So you see that when it comes to shelo lishma is bo lishma. So you're telling me that anava is a mita that outweighs tochacha, and you're telling me that it's anava shelo lishma. Yeah, but if it's anava shelo lishma, it's going to come to lishma, and so therefore I would put anava shelo lishma above tochacha. Now, hechidami tochacha lishma vanava shelo lishma. So the Gemara says, can you give me an example of what this looks like? So the Gemara says, yes. Ki ader avun v'chia barav haviyas v'kamed Shmuel. So the Gemara knows that there were two talmidim in front of Shmuel. One was Rav Huna, and the other was Chia Barav. Now, Amr le Chia Barav. Now, Chia Barav puts in an official complaint about Rav Huna. So, and they're talking to the Rebbe Shmuel, and an official complaint about Rav Huna. So he says, Chazi mar de kamitzarli. So, Chia Barav says, regarding Rav Huna, and he says it to Shmuel, you know, Rav Huna, he's driving me crazy. He's making me nuts. And he's really bothering me to no end. So what was Rav Huna's response? Kabbalah desula mitzarli. So Rav Huna says, okay, I'm really sorry. Right? This is all in front of Shmuel. And Rav Huna says, I won't do it again. Okay, sorry. Good. Now we get to the rest of the story. Now, Basar Danafik Amarlei. So now, Chia Barav has now officially left the room. And so now left in the room is Shmuel and Rav Huna. So, Basar Danafik Amarlei Hachi Vahachi Ka'avid. And so Rav Huna says to Shmuel, you know, I'm bothering him because I'm correcting him. Meaning he's doing a number of things that are wrong. And I'm just doing so in the form of correction. So Amarlei, 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 Banpei. So Shmuel says, that's an important detail. How come you didn't share that detail with me earlier? How come you're only sharing it with me now? So Amalei, chas l'dilichsav zari derav. So al yadi. So he says, I didn't want to embarrass him. He's zari derav, he's a son of Rav, and out of respect for Rav, I didn't want to embarrass him. But in other words, but I'm really correcting him. So over here, this is an example of anava shelo lishma. Meaning Rav Huna over here. So if it was real aniva, so fine. So in other words, he'd be like, okay, fine, I won't correct you. But in other words, the reason why he didn't give the tochacha, or the reason why he didn't reprimand him in front of Shmuel, is for other reasons, because of the covet of his father, because it was zari derav. That's why he didn't do it. So this is an example of anava shelo lishma. In other words, his refraining from rebuking is nothing to do with his real anivas. It has to do with other reasons and other considerations. But the Gemara says, but that's good. Meaning anava shelo lishma goes above tochacha. Ad heichan tochacha, the Gemara says, okay. Now what are the limits of tochacha? Meaning good. So now we have learned together that if you see somebody doing something wrong and you know he's ready to accept it, remember that line of Rabbi Tarfon. I don't know if people are ready to hear it. And he's ready to accept it, so now, good. So now you have a mitzvah of tochacha. The mitzvah of tochacha gets to what point? What point are you now supposed to repeat message again and again in order so that he correct? At what point do basically you say, okay, the mitzvah now has officially come to a conclusion. So Rav Amar Ad Akar, Shmuel Amar Ad Klala. Rav Yochanan Amar Ad Nizifa. So the Gemara gives us three shiurim. According to Rav Adaka, when the one who is being reprimanded says, enough already, and he hits you. So once you get slapped, so at that point in time, okay, mitzvah now has officially come to an end. According to Shmuel Ad Klala, he has to curse you. He's heard enough from you already. He gives you a klala. Okay, mitzvah has come to an end. And according to Rav Yochanan, Nizifa. Now Nizifa in this case means he's angered. He demonstrates anger against you. Enough already. I've heard enough. So under those circumstances, so then the mitzvah of tochacha has come to an end. Kitanai, the Gemara points out, it's not only a machlokus amarim, it's a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer ad Akar, Rabbi Shua Omer ad Klala, Benazir Omer ad Nizifa. And the Tanaim go over these respective positions of when the mitzvah of tochacha has come to an end. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Ushosha Mikra Echadarshu. As far as these three shitas are concerned, they're all really generated from the same episode in Navi. We're in Shmuel Aleph, and within Shmuel Aleph, so we're going over the relationship between David Yehonasan and Yehonasan and his father Shaul. Shaul was always concerned that David was looking to take over the Malchus, and so Shaul assumed David to be a Mord B'Malchus. Shaul, on a number of occasions, hunts David down in order to kill him. Yehonasan, who is the best friend of David, is pleading with his father and trying to give his father tochacha, which in of itself is interesting because there's obviously another consideration over here, and that of course is kibbutz, meaning that on one hand he's trying to correct his father, on the other hand it's his father, and is one allowed to correct his father? Okay, and that is another consideration. The Gemara does not bring it up over here, but it's certainly something worthwhile thinking about. But anyway, Vayichar af Shaul b'Yehonasan. And finally, Shaul says to his son Yehonasan, enough, enough. And Vayamalo ben Naos Hamardus, and he describes him as a rebellious son. Uksi vayatel Shaul sachanis alav lahakoso. And Shaul is so upset with his son that he takes a spear in order to hit his son Yehonasan, because he's heard enough tochacha from his son regarding his behavior and David. Now, Laman da'amar adakad dechsev la'akosel. And so you see over here that Yehonasan is giving tochacha to his father Shaul. Shaul has now said enough already, and picks up a spear with the intent of trying to hit his son Yehonasan. So if you say that the mitzvah of tochacha comes to the point of hakah, so you see over here lehakoso, that Shaul basically has heard enough and he wanted to hit his son. Ulaman da'amar ad kalacha dechsev levashtecha leboshes ervas imecha. If you say that it's a klala, so Shaul was actually mekala his son also, meaning in the exchange, in this exchange that takes place between Shaul and Yehonasan, so Shaul says to Yehonasan, you're embarrassing yourself, you're embarrassing your mother, meaning, would you, enough with you defending David, enough. So he gives him a klala. Ulaman da'amar nezifa dechsiva yichar af Shaul. And if it's nezifa, if it's anger, so you see Shaul got angry. It says vayichar af Shaul, that Shaul in fact got angry. So you see that all three shitas are there, right there in the episode of Shaul and Yehonasan. The Gemara asks questions, Laman da'avar nezifa haksiv hakav v'klala. Now, let's say you are of the opinion that nezifa is the point where, that's it, tochacha now has come to an end. So the Gemara says, if you take that position, and we saw Rabbi Yochanan take that position, we saw Ben Azai take that position, if you take that position, what do you do with the actual episode? Meaning, Shaul does give his son a curse. Shaul does look to hit his son. So, how do you learn out the psukim in lieu of the fact that nezifa is really all you needed for the mitzvah to come to an end? So, Shani Hasam da'agav chavivusi yaser da'havebei liyahonasan bid David masanav sheitzvei. So the Gemara says over there, look, nezifa is really it. The anger would have been enough to stop the tochacha. However, because Dov and Yehonasan had a special chavivus, they had a special friendship between one and another, so over here, Shaul realized he had to do more in order for the tochacha to stop, because he knew that it wasn't just that he was receiving tochacha from his son, but he also knew that his son was giving him tochacha based not only on correction, but also on his dear friendship that he had with David HaMelech. And so therefore, as a result of that, Shaul went above and beyond what you normally need to do in order to stop the tochacha. Normally you just need nezifa, but because of the relationship, so therefore it was hakah, it was klala, it was more. Okay. I understand. The Gemara is just focusing from the standpoint of tochacha, but you're correct. It's another variable to take into consideration. Okay. That is the end of the Gemara regarding tochacha. Change topic, transition. We're now going to be talking about achsanya. When you're traveling, so really what you should try to do is you should try to stay in the same in the same hotel. I know that sounds funny. It sounds like I'm giving good advice. It's the Gemara that we're learning together. Now, at a certain point in time, the status quo is you should be staying in the same hotel. But if service is really bad, then you have a right to move. At what point now is the service really bad? So Rav Amar, Dakar Shmuel Amar, Chiaf Shila Lo Kela L'Achal Rav. So Rav says until you get physically abused. Okay. In other words, if the manager of the hotel decides that, you know what, instead of greeting you, he gives you a slap. Okay. At that point in time, now you should change your hotel. And according to Shmuel, if he takes your luggage and he throws it out, at that point in time, recommended that you should move your hotel. But it sounds like from that point going forward, you should stay in the same hotel. So it's funny the way we operate. And we say we, I'll speak on behalf of myself. I won't speak on behalf of others. In other words, if the breakfast didn't work out, I'm not going back there. The Gemara has a lot more tolerance in terms of what you should tolerate before changing and switching up and moving to another hotel. And by the way, I'm sure we all understand, right? The hotel back in those days were not the same as now. And nowadays, it's cold. It's a business. Back then, hotel meant you had an innkeeper, right? They were a host, right? They personally took care of you. It was much more, right, to use my mother's terminology, it was much more hamish back in the day. So the Gemara says, "Behakadi de kulei amalo plige, behavshalos kev lachar of kulei amal nami lo plige." So the Gemara says, "Look, if you yourself are getting hit, if you yourself are getting your luggage thrown out," the Gemara says, "at this point in time, there really is no debate. Meaning, you now have the right to not go back there and not stay in that inn. Ki plige behakadi de vasayu." So the Gemara says, we're talking about where a family member gets hit. And the Gemara speaks specifically about your wife. So you're not getting hit, it's only your wife. And so therefore it shouldn't make a difference. Now, I understand, by the way, the Gemara is a little bit hard to hear. Meaning, that's a rough piece of Gemara regarding, it's only your wife. I understand that. It speaks to the idea, and, obviously, part of my job is to defend the Gemara. It speaks to the idea of how important it is to maintain the consistency of one's lodging. But admittedly, though, it's a difficult Gemara. Umar Savar, Asili Itrude, and the Gemara, and the other position is no. If you see your wife getting hit, you're going to defend your wife, and so you and the innkeeper are going to have words with each other, and probably more than just words with each other. So the other position is that is cause to go and excuse yourself from this hotel. The Kol Kach Lama. Now the Gemara says, okay. Now the driving force behind the last number of lines of Gemara is that you should be going back to the same inn and staying at the same inn. The Gemara says, what's behind that? Meaning, why is that such a driving force? Amar Marach Sanai Pogem Nifgam. So the Gemara says, because if what ends up happening is that you're incapable of maintaining a relationship with an inn, Pogem Vinifgam. You're going to become Pogem. And I'm sorry, you will be pogame and you will also be nifgam. Meaning, what are people going to say? This person can't maintain a relationship. This person over here, when I say this person, by the way, I'm talking both about the guest and we're talking about the host. Meaning, if you're incapable of ending up staying in the same place, so people are going to talk about you. People are going to be talking about the innkeeper. Meaning, people are going to say, look at those cantankerous people who can't get along. Rav Yehuda Marav goes one step further. Not only is it going to besmirch your reputation if you're incapable of staying in the same place, but moreover, I'm going to say psukim in the Torah that indicate that you should stay at the same inn. So you see that Avraham always tried to maintain the same inns. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi China Amar Me'achav Yalech L'Masa'av. Right, same psukim, same episode in Chumash, and Vayelech Lamasav, he traveled along the same route and he stayed in the same inns. So maybe now the Gemara says, okay, now truth be told is that we're really pointing at the same psukim and emulating the behavior of Avram Avinu. What difference is there whether I'm basing it on Hamakom Asher Hasham versus Vayelech Lamasav? So Ikemenach Sanai Dekrai. So the Gemara says the difference between them is, let's say it's not a regular inn that you stay in, but it just happens to be that you go there every now and then. So if it is based on Hamakom Asher Hayasham Ahalo, so that means to say that that's the place that you regularly visit. If on the other hand, Vayelech Lamasav, even though you don't frequent there often, still you should end up staying in the same place. Amar Rav Yochanan Minayin Shaleishana Adam Me'umnaso Ume'umnas Avosav. The Gemara here speaks to the idea that you should go into your father's business. You should maintain the skill and craft that your father had. Shlomo Melech in building the Beis Hamikdash, so he needed a couple of blacksmiths, more than a couple. And he was looking for somebody who really knew how to work with copper. And so he went to this Chiram. Chiram was from Tzur, and what was his lineage? Va'amar mar imei mi beis dan. So his mother comes from the family of Danuksiv. Ito es ahaliyah benachisamach lamate dan. Now in fashioning the Mishkan and putting the kelim together for the Mishkan, so we know Bitzalel, and on top of that, there's also Ahaliyav. And he was from Sheva Dan, and he was a blacksmith, and he really knew how to work copper well. So so you see that when Shlomo looked for somebody in order to work with the copper, in order to help him build the kelim for the Beis HaMikdash, so he went to somebody whose blacksmith goes well back into the family. And by the way, we are now, right, as we just learned recently in the Daf, we are now 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we are, right, almost five centuries later, and meanwhile he's looking for somebody in that family in order to build the Beis HaMikdash. Adhechan tachlis yisurin. The Gemara over here wants to know, when does it qualify as yisurim? Now, at the end of the sugya, the Gemara will tell us why it's important to know this. Meaning, what qualifies as yisurim, what doesn't qualify as yisurim. All right, so there are many inconveniences that come across us on a daily basis. And when does it qualify as yisurim, the Gemara is going to be discussing. And the significance of that, the Gemara will reveal at the end. So, adhechan tachlis yisurim. What a strange string of topics that we've been covering since the beginning. We've covered tochacha, where a person should stay. You should stay within the trade of your family. And now, what qualifies as yisurin? Right, it's hard to see the connection between all these different topics. I'm sure they're connected. But admittedly, it's difficult to see. Ad heichan tachlis yisurin? At what point in time does it qualify as yisurin? I'm Rabbi Elazar kol she'argo lo begel lo bosh ve'ein mitkabel alav. You go to the tailor. You ask him, right? The suit needs to be fitted. Can you fit me? Sure. I'm sure it's happened to all of us. I'm sure it's happened. And as you leave, you realize he didn't do such a good job. Doesn't fit. Okay, so that's Yisurin. So Maskev la Rava Ziri Vitemer of Shmuel bar Nachmanah Gedolah Mizu. Amru Afilin Eskavu Limzog Bechamim Mazgula Betzonim Betzonim Mazgula Bechamim Ve'atam Rekulei Hai. Now, what you just described, that's really inconvenient. I'm telling you, even a lesser inconvenience qualifies as yisurim. Let's say you want your wine diluted. Back in the day, so wine was always diluted. You were given a portion of wine. Wine back then was strong. It was almost like a syrup, and it was diluted with water. Now, sometimes you wanted warm water, sometimes you wanted cold water. I don't know when each one is applicable. Maybe it had to go with a certain meal. It was a pairing. Whatever the case was. Anyway, you wanted your wine to be diluted in hot water. And meanwhile, it was diluted in cold water. That's enough of an inconvenience where that qualifies as yisurim. You're talking about going to the tailor, having your suit fitted, and coming out, and it's not fitted. That's a tremendous inconvenience. Of course that's yisurim. I'm telling you, even if the temperature of the water for your wine is not what you wanted, that's yisurim. So, Marbre, the Ravina Amar, Filan Epach, Lechaluka. You put your shirt in and you find out that you put it in inside out. And now you have to go through the inconvenience of taking it off and flipping it and then putting it back on again. That's also considered yisurim. Rav Evitem, Rav Chisav Evitem, Rav Yitzchak Bar Amir, Laban Masis, and Tanafi, Lohoshi, Lo, Yad, Lekis, Lito, Shalosh. Va'ala, Biyado, Shtayim. So let's say you needed three coins. You go into your pocket, you take two coins out of your pocket. That's inconvenience. Meaning now you're going to have to go into your pocket and take out a third coin again. That's inconvenience, which qualifies as yisurin. Dafka shalosh v'alu biyado shtayim avav shtayim v'alu biyado shalosh lo. The Gemara says, but I'll tell you what does not qualify as enough of an inconvenience where it qualifies as yisurin, and that is where you needed two coins, you go into your pocket, you take it out, and there were three coins in your hand. That's not enough of inconvenience, because if all you need to do is just put the coin back into your pocket, admittedly, inconvenient, but not yisurin inconvenience. Deleka tircha lemishtayhu. Now the Gemara says, okay, so we've just spent now the last 5 minutes going over what is considered inconvenience that qualifies as yisurin, and what's just simply inconvenience. So the Gemara says, and why is that important? Why do we need to know? So the Gemara says, the Tanya de Bei Rabbi Shmuel kol she'avro lav arba'im yom, below yisurim kibo olamo. A person that goes 40 days without yisurim, so he receives his olam haba. Right? Rashi kibo olamo kol menuchaso. So any of the menucha that is coming to you in the future, in Olam Haba, So that you just enjoyed in this world. So basically, you want these yisurim, these minor inconveniences in life, which basically make sure, ensure that you are not receiving any of your olam haba in this world. Then Ma'arav Amre, now in Eretz Yisrael, they would say, Puranus Mizdam Nuslo, that if you see 40 days go without any yisurim, so that's bad. That's a bad sign. So you want daily inconveniences.
Life is good, it's bad.
Every right.
That's great
theology.
Life is good.
So you want these yisurim because otherwise something's bad is going to happen. Okay. So a healthy attitude towards how to look at the various inconveniences of life. Baruch Hashem. In other words, everything should be met with Baruch Hashem. But the Gemara helps us frame exactly what the benefit of these yisurim are. Tanya, we are now on the top of Zayin Amar Aleph, Rabbi Eliezer, Agadol Omri, Amalei Ba'akash Baruch, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Bedin, and Yechom La'amod Bifnei Tochacha. We're going to go now back full circle, and we're going to head back to the topic of Tochacha. Now, as far as Tochacha is concerned, so obviously Tochacha is Din, obviously. You did something wrong, somebody comes over there and corrects you. Okay, I'm fine. In other words, Me'ikar Din, he's right. What I did was wrong. I need to be corrected. He is now going to be serving as a shliach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's now going to correct me. Good. But that's all din. Now, if we went according to the strict letter of the law and it was 100% din, the Gemara says, I could not say this without the Gemara. The Gemara says, not even Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov could handle it. If it was 100% din. Mibnei tochacha shenemar v'atayis yatzvu v'ashpata eschem lifnei Hashem. It's called Sitkos Hashem asher asa itchem v'es avosechem. So not only for you, but even your fathers as well. Meaning, I can't go in with din. There has to be a level of tzedakah. You have to be charitable. You have to be generous. You have to be a little bit easygoing. If it's all din, nobody can survive. And the Gemara says not even the avos could survive if it was just 100% din. Okay. The balance. It's the balance. It's always a balance. Zedor Dorshav Mevakshe Panecha Yaakov Sela. The Gemara now is going to be ending our parak off with other topics. The Gemara starts with a pasuk in Tehillim. All right, familiar with the parak in Tehillim. So this is a generation Mevakshe Panecha Yaakov Sela. Pligi bar Rabbi Yehuda Nisya v'Rabbanan Chanamar Dor Lefi Parnas v'Chanamar Parnas Lefi Doro. Okay, what's the horse and what's the cart? Or who's driving who? So is it that the leader is driving the nation, or is it that the nation is driving the leader? Is the leader a reflection of the nation, or the opposite? Now the Gemara says, "Amai hilchos." The Gemara says, "Look, it's a really nice philosophical question. I love it, but we're not learning philosophy. In other words, lamaisa. What difference does it make?" So the Gemara says, "Ilei malamal yusa demar savi imali dare mali parnos umar savi imali parnos mali dare." So the Gemara says, "Is it that?" What reflects what is the question of, look, we get a good leader, we're going to have good people. Or, when we have good people, we're going to have a good leader. Is that the issue? The Gemara says that's not the issue, can't be the issue, because we empirically see it's not true. You can have a great leader, and by the way, when I'm using words like good and great in this context, I mean just in terms of tzidkus. I'm not talking about... The Gemara is obviously not talking about his politics. The Gemara does not care about his politics. The Gemara is just talking about the tzidkus of such an individual. So do you mean to tell me that when we find the leader to be a tzaddik, the people are going to follow in suit? Or the other way around, the Gemara says, we simply know it's not true. It's empirically not true. Ha'ika tzidkiyahu da'avei male. Let's take a look at the last Melech Yisrael, Melech Yehuda rather, before Chorban Bayis Rishon. We just dealt with Tzidkiyahu not so long ago in the Gemara. He was the last king that was set up by Nebuchadnezzar. And he was a tzaddik. It's built into the name. So Tzidkiyahu Davi Male. Vidari lo have male, but the generation, his generation was not good. On the other hand, Hayo Yakim, the lo have male. Now we can go now a couple of Malachim earlier to Yo Yakim. We too discussed him not so long ago in the Daf. And he was the son to Yoshiyahu. Now, Yoshiyahu was great, and Yoshiyahu brought an entire Baal Tshuva movement to the Jewish people. However, Yehoyakim, not the same. Va'Yehoyakim delo havemale, v'dari havemale. But meanwhile, the generation at the time that was still within the tkufa, so to say, of Yoshiyahu, so the generation was great. So you see clearly that when it comes to tzidkus, So the leader doesn't follow the generation. The generation does not have to follow the leader. They could be independent of one another. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Ma Dechziv Reishis Mamluchus Yao Yakim Melch Yehuda. Now, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu describing the Malucha of Yehoyakim, it uses the word Bereishis. What does that mean, Bereishis? Now, obviously, what it means is in the beginning. But why use that term? The Gemara goes on to explain. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'achzir Es Ha'olam L'tov Vavo. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do is he wanted to bring the world back to the beginning. Right? And we've seen that move by HaKadosh Baruch Hu numerous times. Right? Noach. Let's start again. Abraham. Right? He wanted to start again. Okay, so he started with a... He started a new nation with Avram. So in other words, so by the generation regarding Yehoyakim, same thing. He wants to start again. So that's Bereishis. La'achzir es ha'olam l'tov vavo b'shvil Yehoyakim kevin shenistaka b'daro nisyashva daito. But then he takes a look at the generation. Right? Yehoyakim, a train wreck. The generation, pretty good. Okay. So in other words, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not start again because of the door. And meanwhile, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'achzir Es Ha'olam L'tov Vavo Mimnei Dor Shel Tzidkiyahu. And they say, now we can move down a couple more malachim to the last Melech Yehuda of Bais Rishon, to Tzidkiyahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to hit the reset button. The door was such a disaster. And meanwhile, he looked towards Tzidkiyahu, Kevin Shinistaka, but Tzidkiyahu Nisyash V'Dato. And when he looks to Tzidkiyahu, okay. Tzidkiyahu is a tzaddik. And so therefore, we're not going to hit the reset button. So you see clearly over here that there is no connection between the tzidkus of the leader and the tzidkus of the generation. It can go in either direction, and they do not necessarily correlate with one another. So now, let's go back to the pasuk. The pasuk that started off our discussion, Zedor Dorashav Mevakshe Panecha. So we're looking at the relationship, what kind of relationship is there between the parnas and the generation? And so we're trying to figure out what does it mean? So the Gemara says we're talking about in terms of how patient and tolerant people are going to be. If you have a leader who is impatient and intolerant and is quick to anger, so the people are going to follow in suit. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe that when you have the people like that, so then the leader is going to be like that. Right? Conversely, if let's say you have a leader who is pleasant and patient, so the people are going to follow suit. And again, it could work in the other direction as well. So the Gemara says the personality traits, specifically that of patience versus intolerance, so that is going to be reflective of leader to generation. Unclear which direction we're going to go. That's exactly the Gemara's question, right? Whether the dor lefi parnas or parnas lefi dor. But the Gemara says in regards to that particular midah, that's the significance of the machlokas. Hajalach yesh be'erchin, that is the end of the third parak of the Masechta. And let's begin. Let's begin this morning the fourth parak of the Masechta, and the Mishnah starts off. As we know already, the topic of this Masechta is Erechin. Now, that may have gone a little bit past us as we are now in the 17th daf of the Masechta, because a lot of this Masechta we have not been dealing with Erechin. And understandably, the second parak of the Masechta talked about all the various ranges that is found throughout the Halacha, and the second parak really took us on a tour of the... Of various other topics in Shas, in second parak we did not do much in discussing Erechin. The third parak, which we just concluded, talked about the Chumra and Kula of having a fixed value. Erechin is a fixed value, so therefore it's a Kula and a Chumra. In other areas in Halacha, where it's a fixed value, and so therefore it represents a Kula and a Chumra. And the last two Dapim, we discussed issues of Lashon Hara, Tochacha, and other assorted topics. So, admittedly, we are more than halfway through the Masechta, and we didn't really talk much about the topic of Erechin itself, but all that changes right now. Now, from here, we're going to be discussing the topic of Erechin, and so let's work with a introduction. Funny time to give an introduction to Erechin, Daf Yud Zayin, but it's a good time. The pasuk at the end of Parshas Bechukosai, beginning of Perichav Zayin, introduces us to the topic of Erechin. Now, we all know. Erech is basically an instrument in which I'm going to be donating to the Beis HaMikdash. And so if a person wants to commit money to the Beis HaMikdash, so he can use the specific instrument of Erech. Erech means he's going to give an assessment of a person. That person could be anybody, could be himself, could be anybody else. And based on only two factors, only on gender and age, and only on those two factors, that's going to determine how much money he gives to the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk in the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin, Vaydaber Shama Moshe Lemor, Daber Al Bnei Yisrael Vamarta Lahem Ish Ki Afli Neder Be'erkecha Nefashos LaHashem. If a person is going to be making a neder specifically through the instrument of Erechin. Now, we're going to see this right now in our Mishnah. Neder and Erechin are not exactly the same. But the pasuk obviously uses the words neder in the parsha of Erechin. It just simply means that he's making a pledge. Now, we know from a Mishnah standpoint, there's a difference between neder and Erechin, a big difference. When we're talking about neder, we're talking about damim. We're talking about the market value. When we're talking about Erechin, we're talking about the fixed assessed value, as mentioned here in our psukim. So we know that there's a difference, but in the simple pshat in the psukim, it just simply means he's making a financial commitment using the instrument of Erechin. And the psukim go on to give us the actual schedule, meaning what is your age, what is your gender, that's how much money you're going to be giving. And I'm not going to go through the schedule today. Tomorrow's daf, we will go through the schedule. I mean, it's in the psukim in the Torah. You can look it up. But the but it ranges anywhere from 3 shkalim, that's the lowest amount, to 50 shkalim, that's the maximum amount. However, there's also an opportunity to get a special assessment. Who's going to get the special assessment? That's what we're about to learn right now. The noder, meaning the one who makes a commitment. He makes a financial commitment that he's going to give. Let's say he commits himself to the erech of a 50 shekel person, which is going to be a male anywhere between the ages of 20 to 60. So he's now on the hook financially for a 50 shekel pledge. He does not have 50 shkalim. So what he can do is he can get a special assessment. And that's now in Pasuk Ches. V'im machu me'erkecha. Now if he's poor, v'emidu lifnei ha'kohen, so he's going to stand in front of the kohen, v'harich oso ha'kohen, and the kohen's going to give him a special assessment. Api asher tasig yana noder, yarichenu ha'kohen. And based on how much he can give, that's how much he's going to be receiving as a special assessment. Even as a special assessment, it's not going to go lower than 1 shekel. 1 shekel is going to be the base minimum that he's going to give. Remember, we already did this earlier in the Masechta. If let's say he made a 50 shekel pledge, he's got 5 shekelim to his name. So under special assessment, does that mean he's going to give 1 or does that mean he's going to give 5? You'll remember that was a machlokas. Machlokas atanayim. The psak halacha is that he's going to give 5. Okay. All that stated as an introduction, let's start our Mishnah. We are on Yezayin Amin Aleph. We're starting the 4th parak of the Masechta. Hesed Yad Ben Noder. So we're going to be learning now 4 halachas. Halacha number 1. That when talking about the special assessment, we're looking at the financial status of the one making the pledge. What's the other option? Of course. You might have thought that the special assessment is not only on the one making the pledge, but on the subject of the pledge. Meaning, let's say he's going to give the erech not of himself, but of somebody else. Maybe we should take his financial status into consideration. So the Mishnah is first teaching us, no. It's going on the financial status of the one making the pledge. I know it's intuitive. It's what we all would have thought. But the Mishnah starts off with that as point number 1. Point number 2. Hashanim benidar. Now in terms of assessing the age, it's going to be based on the age of the person whose erech he wants to give. I know, again, that's intuitive. I know it's intuitive. But the point is that when you say that you're going to give the erech ploni, not yourself, but if somebody else, so you're going to be looking at how old he is, not how old you are. V'ha'erchin b'ne'erach. Now, in terms of gender, so that's going to be contingent on the one, on the again, the subject of whose erech we're taking into consideration. Meaning we're not looking at your gender, we're looking at the person's whose erech you commit yourself to give. Again, it's intuitive, we all would have guessed it, but the Mishnah makes that point clear. And finally, ha'erech bizman ha'erech. The last point is the following. You commit yourself to give the erech of somebody, and at the time that you made the erech, so let's say it was a male 19 years of age. So in other words, so now he's not in the 20 to 60 year range, he's now between the 5 to 20 year range. He's 19 years of age. And then you procrastinate. You didn't pay on time. And now it's 2 years later. He's 21 years old. And so now you're ready to pay. Beis HaMikdash says, oh, whose erech did you say you're going to give? Oh, him? He's 21. You now owe 50 shkalim. So the Mishnah says no. The Mishnah says it's bizman ha'erech. The time in which you made the erech is going to be your financial commitment. And despite the fact that by the time you're paying, Things have changed. He's now older. He's now in a new bracket. It doesn't matter. You're going to be paying based on the age at the time that you made the erech. So those are the four succinct points of the Mishnah. Then in terms of the special assessment, it goes based on the one who's making the pledge. In terms of the age, it's going to be based on the subject of who the erech is in honor of. In terms of the gender, same thing. It's based on the ne'erach. And in terms of which bracket the person's going to fit in, it's going to be based at the time that you made the erech, not at the time that you pay. Hesek abano de ketzad, anish erech es asher. No, it's an erech ani. So the Mishnah gives simple examples. So when we're discussing the first halacha, the hesek yad benoder. So when it comes to hesek yad benoder, so let's say the ani commits himself to give the erech of somebody who himself is wealthy. Wealthy over here just simply means he's above the poverty line. So he's able to afford the erech commitment. So ani sherech es asher no sin erech ani. So in other words, okay, I know that I'm giving the erech value of Plony, but I myself don't have the means. We're going to go based on my financials, not his financials. And so therefore, I'm going to be able to receive a special assessment, even though he himself can afford it, but I'm the noder, and therefore we're going to go after me. Asher she'erech hazani nosin erech asher. And let's say I have an asher who decides that he's going to give an erech donation to the Beis HaMikdash. And the person that he's going to be ma'arech is going to be an ani. Nevertheless, he himself, because he can afford it, is going to be giving the erech of an usher, because again, it's based on the pledger's financials, not the one who is being assessed. Whose erech is being assessed. Aval b'karbanos en okein. The Gemara now is making the following contrast. You know, it doesn't work this way by karbanos. Meaning, there are number of karbanos in the Torah where it's fluctuating based on your financials. We're going to be focusing this morning on the carbon of the mitzvah. After having gone through tzaras, after having gone through the purification, on day 8 of the taharas ha-mitzvah, so he's going to be bringing karbanos. Which karbanos is he going to bring? It's all detailed and outlined in the 14th parak of Vayikra. And there, it's going to be based on his financials. If he's an asher, so he gives animal karbanos. If he's an ani, so he's going to be able to replace the animals with birds, which are significantly less. And so for our mitzvah, it doesn't operate in the same manner as erchin. So for example, harisha amar karbanos shel mitzvah zeh alai. So let's say that I have a person who is a mitzvah, and he right now is not in a position where he can bring his karbanos. And so I'm going to sponsor. I'll sponsor his karbanos. So karbanos mitzvah zeh alai. So I'm going to be giving his karban mitzvah. And so now, being that I'm the sponsor of that mitzvah, so now whose financials do we look at in terms of assessing whether you're going to be paying the higher end karban or the lower end karban? So hayam mitzvah ani mevi karban ani. So if the mitzvah himself is an ani, so then I'm going to be giving a karban ani. Asher mevi karban asher. If, however, the mitzvah is an asher, so I'm going to be giving the karban asher. So you see over here that the determination of which bracket you're going to be putting into is not going to be based on the one who's making the pledge, but rather it's going to be on the subject. Okay, so in this regard, so the mitzvah does not follow the model of erchin. By erchin, it's based on the one who's making the pledge. By mitzvah, it's based on the subject.
So the subject is obligated to bring the
korban. So Rebbe Omer ani af erchin kein. So Rebbe says, Danny, perfect. So Rebbe says, af be'erchin kein, what are you talking about? I think that the two go hand in hand. V'chimim ne'ma anim she'erich es ha'asher nosin erich ani, she'ina asher chayev klum. In other words, when I have an ani, who's going to give the erich of somebody who is an asher? Why is it that we're basing it on the person making the neder and not the subject of the neder? Because the subject of the neder is not obligated anything. Aval asher shama erki alai. But let's say, for example, that I have an usher, and he says, erki alai, I want to give my erech. Good. So the usher now is going to be giving the erech, and not just anybody's erech, but his own erech. Certainly within the right to do that. And now, vishama ani va'amar masha amar ze alai. And the ani comes along and says, you know what? Ditto. Right? That commitment that he made, I want to do that same commitment. So no sin erech usher. So at that point in time now that he's piggybacking off somebody else's obligation, so now he has to give the Erech of an Asher. So Rebbe Yehuda Anasi is saying, I don't understand, the two cases are not comparable with one another. Of course, in the case of Erechin, so you're going to be following the Noder, the one who's making the pledge, because from the standpoint of the subject's not obligated anything. He's just simply a vehicle in terms of determining what the Erech value is going to be. But in terms of assessing how much you're going to give, it's going to be based on the financials of the Noder, the one making the pledge, because he's the one actually having a commitment. In the case of Mitzora, it's simply not comparable. By the case of the Mitzora himself is obligated. I want to come along and I want to sponsor that carbon that he's going to give. Okay, fine, but it's not comparable, says Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, because it's not that I'm obligated and he's not. He's obligated. And so therefore, I'm going to be following his financials, not my financials. So the case is, says Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, is not comparable. In fact, I'm just reiterating the Mishnah. If we did make the cases comparable, the same halacha would be true. Meaning, if somebody says, I'm going to give my Erech and he's an Asher, and somebody comes along and wants to piggyback on that pledge, so he's going to have to now give the Erech of an Asher, despite the fact that he himself is an Ani. Okay. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's comment, and we're going to have to explore what exactly is the Nekudah Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and the Tanakama. Let's start with the Gemara Hesigad Bemarich Hu Gedichsiv Asher Tasigad Anoder Yarichenu Akohen. So as far as the first halacha of the Mishnah, it's a beferish pasuk. The pasuk says Asher Tasigad Hanoder Yarichenu Akohen beferish pasuk. That it follows the one making the pledge, where he gets a special assessment, and it's not going to be based on the evaluation of the subject, the financials of the subject. Hashanim benidar benerach. Hashanim benidar benerachu. The Gemara is just bothered by the lashon haMishnah, meaning we're learning Erchin right now. Why is the Mishnah using the language of nidar? So the Gemara says, I did amar hezegah benodar amar nami hashanim benidar. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's for symmetrical purposes. Meaning, if you look at the first line of the Mishnah, it says Hesegad ben Noder. Now, it uses Hesegad ben Noder, but as the Gemara just explained to us, why does it use the Lashon of Noder? Because that's the Pasuk. The Pasuk's Lashon is Noder. So once we're using the Lashon of Hesegad ben Noder, Hashanim is also going to be ben Nidar. But of course, we mean Erchin. Hesegad ben Noder, Ketzad Ani, She'erech Hashanim, Osein Erech Ani, My time in Damakra, Asher Tasigad HaNoder. So fine. So when it comes to establishing the financial is going to be based on the noder, not based on the subject. If let's say I pledge to give the carbon of a mitzora, if the mitzora is an ani, I'm going to give the carbon ani. The afagav de madiro asher. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. Let's think about this. Meaning the one sponsoring, he's an asher. And the he right now is committing himself to bring the carbon of a mitzora. Yes, the mitzora that he's pointing to is an ani, but he himself is an asher. Why is he only limited to give that of the ani? So v'im dal hu amarachmana v'lo dal hu. In fact, the Gemara punctuates the question with, if you read the pasuk in Parshas Mitzora, it says, who's going to be given the special dispensation? Im dal hu. If the mitzora is financially lacking, then he's going to be given a special consideration. But that's only when it comes to the mitzora. If somebody comes along and sponsors, and that person who sponsors is not the mitzora, and he's an asher, shouldn't he have to give the karbanos of an asher? So I'm Rav Yitzchak Kishayam Adiro Ani. So the Gemara says, okay, so Rav Yitzchak says we're talking about where the madir, where the one who's sponsoring himself is an ani. By the way, if he's an ani, like, why is he coming along and sponsoring? Okay, but I'm not here for financial advice. we're just here to say over the halacha. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak, we're talking specifically about a case where the madir is an ani. V'dilma alei didei chas rachmana amadir lo, dichsiv hu. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? Fine. So the mitzvah himself is an ani. The sponsor, the madir, is also going to be an ani as well. And under those circumstances, so now we're saying that the madir is able to enjoy the financial benefit. He also is going to get a relaxation. He's not going to have to give the more expensive carbonos. He'll give the cheaper carbonos. The Gemara says that's all well and good, but isn't that exactly what the Torah is teaching us? Meaning when the Torah says who, right? Imdal who? Doesn't that mean that in terms of giving a break, giving a dispensation, isn't that only for the Metzora himself? Isn't the Torah basically saying nobody else enjoys the dispensation? A financial break from the more expensive Karbanos other than the Metzora himself. And basically, Rabbi Yitzchak, how do you defend yourself? So Amar Vada Barava, Ve'en Yadom Masegas Rabbos Esanoder. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you look at the Pasuk, and you'll see that the Pasuk is somewhat redundant. The Pasuk says, this is now in the beginning of Parshas Metzora, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Ve'im Dal Hu, Ve'en Yadom Masegas. If he's poor, and he's financially ill-equipped. Yeah, right? That's a double lashon. And what the Gemara now is learning from this double lashon is lerabos es hanoder, meaning that we now get to look at two different people vis-a-vis this special dispensation, the special consideration. Not only is the Metzora himself, if he's an ani, is going to be given a relaxed form of what the Karbanos are going to be, financially relaxed. The same thing is true regarding the Madir as well. If somebody else comes along and wants to make that pledge of a Karban Metzora and he's financially and he's financially strained, so he too is also going to be able to receive this special dispensation. Okay, I know I'm in the middle of a sentence. I know it's not a great place to stop. We'll stop over here. Okay, we'll stop over. It's a lot today. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll finish off the question of financial of who gets financial breaks regarding Erchin, regarding Mitzvah, and obviously we'll pick it up from there.